You want to empty your mind of things that don't justify your time and effort. And that's creating white space. So I go into somebody's life now and I say, look, everything that you have in your life today has come as a result of, you know, 15, all of your activities, only 15% of them have been productive. The truth about the matter is that if, let's just say that it's 15%, so let's assume that 3 hours of activity, let's just take that, of activity every day is what has produced what is on the outside. The truth is, if you slept for 21 hours, woke up and did those 3 hours and went back to sleep, you'll be exactly where you are. Are you following what I'm saying here? And if you sleep for 21 hours, I mean that's not healthy. But I'm just saying, if you rest for 20 hours, you have enough energy for three. And so when you clear that, then you have white space. So let's assume you have 12 more hours that you have emptied out, right, completely of anything. Now you want to fill those 12 hours now with the kind of activity, and this is what goes on. Instead of just clogging it with all kinds of things, your habits begin to change. You begin to get more productive. I'm telling you this as a person. You start, you know, start thinking through on certain things. And this is what happens when people just say, look, well, I'm decongesting my life, right? And God, let me tell you this, does not add on. What he does first, he subtracts first. He's not going to, you can't be doing everything you are doing and then he adds on. He subtracts first, all right? And then he will now add there. So if, for example, when we took upon ourselves the task, let's say, of doing WAFBEC, I understood that an added responsibility had come in, which takes energy. So I look into my life. What am I doing that I'm going to give up? Because I can't add WAFBEC on other things that I was already doing. I cannot be processing, you know, this one and processing. So you look at your life. Now look, all right, what areas, what are the things I can now, and that's where delegation comes in. That's where you begin to decode that, you know, okay, is it necessary? You know, is this, you know, you are moving somewhere higher. You cannot carry all the activities at level one into level two. It cannot happen. You cannot be doing the same thing. You cannot say that, you know, I love fishing, all right? Even though God called me, I love, you give up fishing to get into what God has called you to do. Okay? You can't say this is what I love doing. You will give up what you love doing, all right, to be able to get into those other things. You look at your life properly because the energy God has given to you has to be, you have to be wise in the management, all right, of all these things. Those that multiply, wisely invest this thing. And for you to wisely invest it, you must protect. You have got to, you know, protect, first of all, what you have. You've got to protect it, all right? I can like you like my brother, but I'm not going to violate certain things that I know that will be destructive to my health, all right? I won't do it. I mean, I remembered somebody and I understood what the person was saying. Many years ago, we just used to do Sunday services. We didn't used to do midweek services. So one day I announced that we're going to start doing Wednesday services, all right? The guy came to meet me after and said, this was maybe 10, 12 years ago. He came to me and said, Pastor, he said, don't do midweek services. He said, what you preach on Sunday is enough for any right-thinking person to hold it for the whole week. I understood what he was saying. That look, once you say you are adding on a midweek, you must subtract something. There is something you have, if you don't subtract somewhere, right, your level there will drop because there's just a certain amount that you have. And once you start dissipating it in other things, then what happens is everything just drops there. So the key is to apply more effort. It's not to apply more effort at the same things, right? Many of the things that you allow to take up space in your life are simply not important. Somebody says, you know, we are classmates, we are 25, you look at it. Yeah? Let's assume he says, oh, I must go and be greeting my friends, maybe, you know, we are classmates, and there are 26 that are in the group. But this person has parents, and he has only 3 children. And the parents are elderly, and are sitting at home lonely. And this person is born in time with his 25 bodies, to which there is no eternal promise associated to it. Bible says, honor your father and mother is the first commandment with promise. You don't do that. You don't spend time with them. And when you spend all the time with your friend, he says, boy, we'll see you tomorrow. You invest 3 hours with your parents, they say, God will bless you for what you have done. Do you get what I'm saying here? You look at it. That really is this thing that I'm doing that I... Now, you like to do it. You feel good about it. But is it a strategic investment of my life? Is this something, all right, that... So, the people that are highly productive, what they do first of all is that they decongest their lives of things that are simply not necessary and essential to where they're going. And they do it without being emotional. Are you following what I'm saying? Because you find many people that are heartbroken, who have spread, let's say, all their money on parties with friends. They can't pay for their children's school fees. They pick up the phone to call the friend, and the friend says, oh boy, I am tight now. Then they get heartbroken. You understand what I'm saying? The commandment is to love your neighbor as your own self. So there has to be a demonstration of love for your own self. So you've got to protect, all right, that. And then from there, you know, you begin, all right, to do that. So many of the things you allow to take up your space in your life are not important. They simply have accumulated gradually over a period, all right, of years. These things just slip in gradually. And they begin, all right, to accumulate there. And it just begins, all right, to grow. And those things are just there. Okay? Many things. The same way you can go into your house and there are clothes you don't wear again. But you're just attached to them. Right? The truth about the matter is that there's somebody else that this clothes will be a miracle to. But you are attached to them. And as somebody said, we are not rational beings. We really are emotional beings. Most of the decision we take is not based on rational assessment of the facts on the ground, but just how we feel about what's happening. So people make emotional decisions. And we claim that we're being rational about it, we're intelligent and all of that. But when you look at it, we are simply making, right, emotional decisions there. So many of the things that you allow to take up your space in your life are not important. This is the first thing that happened. So that particle, what they discovered is that while the other ones are jumping all around the whole place, going around the same circle, doing the same thing, they get still. Now all this jumping around keeps us at this level. There's no need for this. Now let's be still, right? If we stand still for a while, then all the energy these other ones are using to jump around the whole place. So they studied that. And what they realized there was that when they looked at those things there, they saw the other ones jumping up and down, and this one just stands still. And what he has done is to gather all the energy together. Okay? And gather all the energy together. So all the money that people have spent on other things, this person has gathered it together. And then you begin to think. And you begin to think, you know, and what's that happening? And you are calm there. And when you are that way, giving gratitude to God, praising God, right? And you are still there just praising. What happens is that things you will never have seen now start coming your pathway, right? Things now begin, okay, you can invest, all right, your time. These things now begin to come there. And as you get into that, what happens looks like a quantum leap that you have made, but it has come not by increased effort, but actually by decreasing the amount of activity to store more energy within your system so you can move there. Right? So there are certain things that have come there, certain work habits that might not be the most productive ways of doing things. Right? Leisure activities, relationships, that are toxic. I'll talk about it on Sunday. Okay? Toxic relationships drain energy. If I was talking to somebody, and we was a medical doctor, and he said, you know, he said, I get from what you're saying. He says, when he says, it is better to dwell in the rooftop than in a contentious woman. What he's saying is that if rain beats you and the sun beats you, it does less damage than a person who is contentious, which is that is draining energy from you. At least rain is outside. It's beating the body, but this one is doing some real damage to you. And the people that maintain toxic relationships, friends, that one conversation, energy has dissipated from you. And you just feel that you owe that person your life. You know, we have a feeling. Now, many people are into emotional debt repayment, which is draining and locked in toxic relationships. Look, people that make progress, that help people, there's something about them today that, you know, people that we're working in love, we're talking, they don't waste time with that. They move on. You're draining energy, that's it. That's all. Okay? That's it. And in this part of the world, sometimes we cannot separate, all right, these things. That's why if you run a business, I'll talk about this on Sunday, you know, try as much as possible to create a family environment that adds emotional energy to people but has a strong work ethic. In other words, when it is time for work, I mean, people that work with me, they know that, look, this is how I am. Let's assume now, I want to travel. I say, so what do you want? And I say, I give you a choice. Say what you want or leave me to buy what I want. They say, Pastor, buy what you want. Because they know that's how. But they know that I don't joke with work. That if we say we are doing something and it should be ready at 6, and it's not ready at 6, we are not smiling. But tomorrow morning, we'll forget we didn't smile. Do you understand what I'm saying there? But you might not forget for a while, but I will forget. But you don't want an environment that doesn't add, okay, emotional, you know, energy, and it's you, so you want to create that. All right? So scale back on those things. Scale back to those things that truly count the most. Look at those things that truly count the most. You don't even have to, first of all, increase, all right, the amount of time you spend on those things. But you want to, it's just like it says, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he says, I will purge it, which means I will decongest. Because what is holding more for me from being fruitful are certain things that are you know, in there that are acting as, you know, you have impurities that resist the flow of electricity. So these things are resisting, all right, the productivity of that person. So it's not even, first of all, about saying that, let's say, increase your time in prayer and increase. No, first of all, let's just look at life and decongest your life. Even if you say, well, I pray for an hour every day, and I still pray for an hour, but I have 5 hours free, okay, sit down and be looking at the ceiling. Let's, first of all, decongest life. Let's, first of all, free the life of that. Okay? So you want to scale back to those things that truly count the most, that work the very best, the things that you begin to give your greatest joy, those things there, sense of fulfillment. What are those things that you do that really give you a sense of fulfillment as a person? Not a sense of enjoyment, but a sense there of fulfillment as a person. All right? There are things you do a day that make you feel fulfilled, that you've accomplished something today. Now, let's look at what are those things. And just say that, well, I'm just going to decongest my entire life and just reduce it to these essential things that I'm doing with no further addition. All I'm doing is subtraction now. Okay? Because increased activity doesn't necessarily bring about greater progress. So we don't just want to increase or double the activity now. Okay? We don't just want to do that. For example, let me just say this here. We used to run a television program in Uganda. We run one in Kenya. Run one here. So one day, you know when you say, okay, cancel everything. You're no longer doing it. Decongest everything. When you do that, you create, it's a law in life. You create white space, blank. Leave it blank. Don't say that, okay, we're on this place, let's add this to it. Leave it blank. Just leave it blank for a while. Then it's from that point creativity begins coming. So one day I discovered something about social media. So I told the administrator in the office, I said, watch what I'm going to do today. I said, we've been playing on Kenya and Uganda. Yes, we have people that follow us on Twitter that say, you're a blessing to us and all of that. I said, but watch what is going to happen. I'm going to have, watch it. So at the beginning of the day, I did something with a message on social media, targeting it to Nairobi. I said, watch. By the end of the day, 1,000 Kenyans had joined my page. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which means that there are ways in which you can do things, but you will not see those ways if you don't decongest your life. Now, it takes, which means that it is the same information that now, this is energy now. So I've preached the same message. I have the notes here of this message. So I understand that I can do something with these notes now in Russia on social media that can get me 30, the same thing here. I haven't done more work. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I haven't done more work. I have just been more creative about using the work. And that's what originally capitalism was about. Capitalism wasn't about capital being money. When people say, look, I'm looking for capital, what people are saying is that I'm looking for money to make my business grow. What capitalism was all about was that if you are giving something small that works, it was never about money. It was about 5 loaves and 2 pieces of fish there. Capitalism was when you inject into that thing, it was written as an invisible force that multiplies the effect of existing labor. That's capitalism was. When someone said, I'm looking for capital, what they are saying now today is I am looking for money. No. What originally was, I'm looking for, and this invisible thing I can inject into this thing that without increasing what I am doing, I will multiply the effect of this thing. That's what capital was about. So what Jesus did, it came to Jesus and said, look, we need 200 penny worth. We need it. Jesus said, you don't need that. What you need is what is called capital, which means injecting. All right? And for you to get that, what we're saying is, it's not going to come when your life is congested. Look, let me tell you this. Anybody, and I'll speak on this morning, anybody that has any business that works, which means the idea has worked. Let us take something, you started baking. In your house. And you started selling the cakes. And you made 50,000 naira, which means people were buying the cakes. And they are eating and you are buying. Now, you are selling, you are eating and buying. Listen, so long as that idea works, you can inject capital. And I'm not saying money. All right? You can inject into it that will multiply the effect of what you are doing in such a way that thing will bring the money now. And then with the money, you can now build the infrastructure, all right, to be able to carry. But it is not. It was never about, never about money. It is recently that people began to say money. If I was looking, there's something, if you can check it, it's on Facebook, it's called Economics, and the sponsor write-ups and articles of economics, and what they're trying to do is to change the mindset. There are a lot of things that they're talking about, economic models. They came in the 60s, when people started changing things. And they said that really and truly, with all the financial they are pumping into business, it is only about 5% of the money that is even changing things. That people are just playing money games there. The real business, they're not adding any value to the real business on ground. Okay? So, what are the biggest companies today in the world? Facebook. It wasn't because, nobody can tell me that, because you gave money to Mark Zuckerberg. It was something that was going on in terms of an idea that worked in terms of linking people in dormitories in a school. Then they looked at it, and then you inject. In the past, they said, people just have their Facebook. Somebody now thought we can have timeline. You can go there now, just don't have your homepage, go on timeline, and just see information streaming. And people started seeing that to an extent that they found out that the biggest media organization in the world today is Facebook. They've realized that they are no longer just about networking people. They're a media organization. So they've come to the point that, look, that's why they say fake news. That a lot of people, if you ask people today, the news that you heard, where did you get it from? Facebook. So they've seen that they are media. And it is not as expensive, all right? Because a lot of things you put on Facebook, you use your phone. You don't have to use the cameras and the lightning. Do you get what I'm saying? So somebody can put up their phone and record something and put it out there on Facebook before anybody. I was talking to some two young ladies. I said, have you watched this program on Sky News? And they looked at me and said, We've not watched television in 3 months. I said, what do you say? They said, we've not put on a television set in 3 months. Ah. I said, you mean you've not put on a television set in 3 months? He said, yes. Ah. Then I really thought about it. Most people that are watching television today is Premiership. It's not for information, it's football. They have already gotten the information on Twitter. Are you following me? So they had to call them Zuckerberg into a meeting and tell them. The same way you had editors when you put out something, as because you're now a media organization, you have to be vetting information people put, because people are running with it. Because you see something on Facebook, everybody says it is like that. And you can scatter a country with fake news. You can destabilize a country with fake news. And it's the power of social media as a tool, right, to change the minds of people. And they said that is what, someone like Donald Trump, when they did their research, they entered into areas, states, that had never voted Republican in 30 years. And they started changing the minds of the people. And because they were not on television, they weren't seeing adverts, the Democrats did not know that they were changing the game. Because what you see is adverts. They didn't see any adverts. They didn't see them holding large campaigns. 3 days to the election, they entered into those places. They sent thousands of people. They asked their people, what's going to happen? They said, we will win. He said, that we will win. He said, the data has told us we are winning. He said, we have crunched the numbers. We have done it. You will see we will win. The people were telling, we are winning. We are winning. We are winning. We are winning. It was at 12 midnight, Hillary Clinton realized. 12 midnight. They had bought champagne. They were about to start the party. When they realized that on social media, minds had been renewed. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me tell you. To reach everybody in Lekki, registered as living in Lekki on Facebook, will cost you $6. Six. You hear what I said? One, two, three, four, five, six. Now, it's not everybody living in Lekki, because people register as Lagos. But register at Lekki, one, two, three, four, five, six. It won't show on any other person's page. Lekki, Lekki people. It just pop up. So, the truth about the matter is, if you want to live and conserve your energy, and say, my friend bought a house. How? He bought the house. There's no mystery. Let me tell you, there's no mystery. Check all the money you are spending. Ice cream, this, that. No, I'm telling you. In that state of mind, when they say house, it's too far. House. You say, when I get 70 million, I will think about buying a house. But that person has. So, you know what happened? Something just pops up on the market. Pay 10%, get this house, spread it over this. Suddenly realizes, how much is 10%? 5 million. There's 7.5 million here. 5 million. He has entered house. Your own house has been eaten in ice cream, wafers. The phone that you don't look. You say, I have smartphone. How many things in the smartphone are you using? The truth about the matter is that you bought smartphone, 202,000. With all what you do, what do you do? WhatsApp. WhatsApp, you can get phone of 35,000 and you do all those things. But you just say, 202,000. I have the new. You're wasting your time. In fact, the very rich people use the old Nokia, so they can't trace anything on them. Ask security people. They don't use smartphone because anybody can pick up what you are doing. So they use the old. Somebody saw some billionaires. They were using old Nokia in Nigeria. 99910. They said they are humble. They are not humble. It is that you can't trace anything on Nokia. It's text message and phone call. Are you following? Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening.